My guest, Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors Attorney at Large, since 1987, and he helps write the forms, doing, among other things, for the California Association of Realtors. Last segment, we were talking about the seller's disclosures and the buyer's right of rescission. And during the break, Neil said he wanted to add a quick postscript to that conversation.
Yeah, real quick, Mark, and sometimes we have a seller who says, you know what, I didn't get this information to the buyer in advance, but I don't want the buyer to have 5 whole days. So maybe in my counteroffer, I'm going to change that time from, maybe I'll change it down to 3, or maybe I'll change it down to 1. An issue is, can the seller do that? Or even if the buyer agreed, maybe the buyer says, yeah, I'll waive my right. I don't really need it. And the answer is no. The statute explicitly says any waiver of the requirements, which means any of the requirements of this article, the statute we are talking about, is void and against public policy.
That makes sense. It's a California statutory law, civil code statutory law. We're going to talk about the buyer's representation, which is a really radical change. But, you know, speaking of disclosures, there's a question on the seller property questionnaire that says, within the last 3 years, are you aware, within the last 3 years, of the death of an occupant of the property upon the property? The death of an occupant of the property upon the property within the last 3 years. So here, my first question is, if someone's visiting and they die in your house, they did die, but they're not an occupant of the property. They were visiting the property.
Right.
Do you have to disclose that?
I would say you would have to disclose that, but not because of the statute, rather because that is likely to be considered a material fact.
Good answer. And what about, is a dog considered an occupant of the property? What if the dog died?
I have never heard that before, amazingly enough. I don't think I would disclose that. Unless I affirmatively knew that the buyer had some kind of affinity for that issue, like the buyer said something or the buyer's agent said something like, this buyer is very squeamish about death of animals on the property. If in that case, of course, you're going to disclose it because the buyer has told you that this is material to the buyer.
Now,
in the absence of that, I don't know that I would.
And of course, the other answer could be, you know what? It's probably not relevant. It's probably not part of the law. But on the other hand, you can't. It's difficult to over-disclose. You know, you can't be accused of. You can never be accused of over-disclosing. Put it that way.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
So
every time you had a fish, you know, your children had pet fish, you know, a little goldfish that you get at the carnival.
In the hall bathroom has been represented of our goldfish since 1984. Okay. the buyer representation, you said, is still an issue. What was happening before this settlement agreement, and what changed?
Okay, so last year, in August, was the implementation date for a nationwide class action settlement entered into by the National Association of Realtors. So before last year, NAR was sued under the theory that the multiple listing service, through which brokers cooperated with each other. So what happened before August of last year, a seller would take a listing, the seller's broker, and seller would agree to pay the seller's broker a certain amount. The seller's broker would then advertise that listing in a multiple listing service and say to the buyer's broker, if you bring in a buyer for this property, I, the seller's broker, will pay you, the buyer's broker, a certain dollar amount or percentage of the sale. Okay? And under the rules of the National Association of Realtors, sellers, brokers, were required to make an offer of compensation. Now, they were not required to offer a certain amount or a certain percentage. Any seller's broker could have, if they wanted, say, we offer to pay the buyer's broker $1 for bringing in a buyer. Okay. Now, the fact of the matter is that rarely happened. Why? Because seller's brokers want to sell their seller's property. They know that if a buyer's broker is being incentivized to bring a buyer in, buyer's brokers don't want to work for free. Buyer's brokers want to be compensated for their time, effort, and energy. That is, if there's a promise of payment, that will increase the likelihood that buyers will be brought to the seller's property. So that worked out very good for buyer's brokers. It worked out good for sellers. It worked out good for seller's brokers. But there was these lawsuits that were brought, many of them throughout the country. One of them went to trial in federal court in Missouri. And the jury said that is an antitrust violation. And came out with this huge judgment, okay, which amounted to, like, at once it was tripled, which is allowed under federal law, was something like $5.4 billion or something like that. So, you know, who could afford to pay that? Nobody could afford to pay that, I guess, unless you're one of the big tech companies. And so NAR settled. They had to settle that case. They didn't have the resources to even appeal that decision. So they settled that case. As part of the settlement, the requirement was there could no longer be an offer of compensation from the seller's broker to the buyer's broker through the multiple listing service. So what did that mean? That means if you work for a buyer and you want to be paid, you're going to have an agreement with your buyer in order to be paid, because you're not going to be able to get money from the seller's broker anymore as a practical matter, because basically all those arrangements were made through a multiple listing service. If the ability to do that transaction from one broker to another in the multiple listing service has been taken away and you work for a buyer, you want to be paid, well, then your choice is you better get an agreement with your buyer.
But that wasn't part of the settlement. That's the upshot of that's the result.
Well, no, that also was part of the settlement. That okay. also was part of the settlement.
Okay.
That realtors in the sale of residential property with 1 to 4 units on them need to have a written agreement with their buyers prior to showing or giving a tour of a property. So not only was it the natural outcome of saying there could be no offer through the MLS, there was also a separate part of the settlement that says realtors representing buyers need to have this in agreement, and that was the time frame. They need to have it prior to showing or touring of the property.
So, yet... And, of course, we're just up against the clock, just about 3 minutes left. Yet,
okay.
yet, despite that agreement, it didn't say a seller can't offer a commission to a buyer's agent. It just says you can't put it in MLS. So an agent representing a buyer can call a listing agent and ask, would the seller consider paying a commission to the buyer's agent? And there's a form where a seller can sign saying, I will consider. Not I will, but I will consider. So then you can still do that, and then it's part of the purchase agreement. It was never part of the purchase agreement.
Okay, so that's different, though. You're talking about a seller either committing to or saying, I will consider paying the buyer's broker. That's different from the seller's broker making a promise to pay the buyer's broker.
Exactly.
You're talking about different parties.
Right. So, but
seller
that's
versus
the,
seller's broker.
But that's what the upshot of the... Of the settlement agreement, that this is what's happening right now. How is that working out?
Well, okay, so that's actually working out fine, which is buyers are negotiating with sellers directly through the purchase agreement, which was something that the parties to the lawsuits thought should happen, that this should be a buyer-seller issue, not a broker-broker issue. And essentially, a buyer asking the seller to pay the buyer's broker is essentially the buyer asking for a concession from the seller. That's really what's going on, right? Seller, I want you to pay for something that I would otherwise be obligated to pay.
And you got these buyers that are just barely getting in sometimes. I mean, you got buyers with deep pockets, but then you got most buyers throughout the country. I mean, I'm dwarfed here. I'm not dwarfed, but I'm spoiled, or whatever word you want to use, in Santa Barbara, it's so unique. But throughout the country, most buyers are just barely getting in. They can't afford to pay a commission. So they're really relying on the seller to pay because they want representation.
Well, that is the reality. And because most sellers, and you know, you are spoiled in Santa Barbara because there's a lot of well-to-do principals in that geographic area. But even in most of the state in California, buyers are really pressed. You know, when you think of their down payment money and their closing costs and everything else they have to do to try to get ready to purchase a property, adding on the cost of paying their own broker really just put many buyers over the edge and they can't do it. So sellers know buyers need help, which is why when this negotiation happens through the purchase agreement, what I'm hearing on the field is most sellers are agreeing. No, they don't have to agree to whatever the buyer asks, but I'm hearing that agreement tends to be reached. Why? Because sellers know if they keep saying no, there's going to be fewer buyers that are going to make offers on their property.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I'm glad that that's what you're hearing. Neil Kalin, California Association of Realtors, attorney at large. We were hoping to get into the differentiating between California law and the NAR settlement and multiple buyer agents for the same property and multiple parties on title. You had some great topics. Maybe we could call you and record a segment and play it at another time. Neil Kalin, always great talking to you. Thanks a million.
A pleasure.
Okay, ciao. The rest of you stay tuned for the weekly Multiple Listing Sales Update.